The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is an encore presentation of Behind the Pink Mic.
Good evening. This is Dr. Lauren Strickland, breast surgical oncologist. And we're here tonight for the first episode of Behind the Pink Mic. This is where we'll do breast conversations about anything, everything, all things breast cancer. And in the studio tonight, I have with me the Linda Bott.
Good evening.
Good evening, Linda. Thank
you. Very excited for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me get this started. I'm very excited. And
we are honored
too, but
for
I'm
the
excited.
Launch.
Yes. Thank you for the launch. So this show is going to be aired every Tuesday evening. The first Tuesday of the month will be a live show, and then we'll have some recordings every Tuesday. So before we get started, one of the things that I always wanted to do was start drinking more teas. And so I'm a true coffee drinker, love a latte, love an espresso. But I figured, you know, teas could be healthy, and I'm trying to live a healthier lifestyle. And so I decided to have a pink teeny every week, or a pink teeny of the month, and that would be T-E-A-N-I-T, pink teeny. And so we have our special behind the mic intern with us, Io, who's going to give us the pink teeny of the month.
This week's pink teeny is the hibiscus pink teeny, a bold ruby red brew packed with vitamin C and antioxidants. It keeps your skin glowing, your heart strong, and your energy flowing. Sip it, love it, and let's let the glow begin.
All right. Thank you, Io. You know, vitamin C is important. It supports our immune system. It's an antioxidant that protects cells from damage and promotes healthy skin. So we're in the studio tonight drinking our pink teenies. What do you think,
And how
Linda?
Do you – I love it. I love it. This would be great iced. I like it. You brought it warm
in
your special cups with your – a sleeve that says Pink Mic with Dr. Lauren. Love that. So pictures of that. We'll post that. But what's it, tell us how you made it. Is it a bag and then you added
actually
stuff
it's
to
a bag.
It? Okay, excellent. No, but it tastes so much more than
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Because
you
know, it's made with love.
It is made with love.
And it's sweet. It's
yeah,
got
we,
some
we
sweetness.
Did add a little honey to it.
Okay, well, there you go.
You notice that? Yeah.
So
it
was definitely not altered, but made with love. For the pink teeny of the month.
Pink teeny of the month. So, yeah. And if you like it ice, we call that rocking. Put it on some ice and rock it out. So we can have it warm or iced. I mean, it is hot out here, isn't it?
Mm. No, but it's delicious.
Thank you.
And that's clever because is it true that, you know, coffee, even though we love coffee, that if you're dealing with immune or you're going through treatment, that it's better to have herbal tea.
Yeah, my understanding, you know, try to keep things a little bit cleaner, and herbal teas are good teas. And some people may have some allergic, you know, reactions to certain herbal teas, depending on if they have allergies. But for the most part, I think herbal teas are good for people. Yeah. So, well, we're going to get started this evening with a little bit of background information about myself, actually.
Good. Let's go.
Okay. I am originally from the Bay Area, born and raised. And I grew up in a single home, and my mother was a math teacher.
Oh,
and
really?
So, yeah,
Equations
and math games.
Mm.
And so she really inspired us to get our education. And it was good to have a math teacher in the house because, you know, math could be challenging.
Ooh, my brain doesn't work that way. But being a doctor, of course, it's all equation.
Yeah.
Much of it's equation. And art.
Yes.
Art of medicine. Yes.
Art of medicine. So she was a huge inspiration. And so when I grew up in the Bay Area, she would take us up to UC Berkeley, and she worked up there, actually, for the Lawrence Hall of Science. And so that was when I was really inspired, like, oh my gosh, I would love to come to this college. And so that was my mission. is to go to UC Berkeley. So I went to UC Berkeley undergrad, and I was pre-med, and got a degree in psychology pre-med. And it was a challenge. I mean, it's competitive.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you tell our listeners when you first had, besides the inspiration of your mother, mm-hmm. and higher education and push yourself and be, you know, expand your brain, et cetera, what would you say, was there an incident that you could think that back then is when I knew mm-hmm. that I wanted to apply myself to be a doctor and then pre-med? Hello.
Yeah, that's a good question, because when I was about 6, I had surgery. I had an umbilical hernia and the candy stripers. Remember the candy stripers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the candy stripers would come in and see you, and I thought, wow, that is so cool.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was inspired. I used to watch Emergency and Marcus Welby. Do you remember those?
Yes, of course I do.
I used to watch those shows, and then she would get me doctor's kits every Christmas and play with my stuffed animals, and it was just that imagination that kept going.
That's fantastic. That's I can see that. You know, you were in, it's not like you just changed midstream.
Mm-hmm.
You, this was something that was a calling. You were, it was a meant to be thing.
Yeah, I believe so. Cause I never wavered. No matter how hard it was, I was going to make it happen. So yeah. So that was good. And then, you know, my mom would always have math games at birthday parties, and it was like, okay, another math game. But you know what? Friends liked it though. They loved it.
I don't think I've ever been to a birthday party where there was math equations.
Yeah.
Music, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Math,
mm-hmm.
But there's math and music.
Yeah. They go together.
Yeah. And you're a big fan, of course. We know that you, when we see your posts, that you love jazz and you go in mm-hmm. jazz cruises and you follow, in fact, some of your lead in music and your exit music is one of your favorite musicians.
Yeah, Dave Koz. Saxophonist.
Mm-hmm.
I figured I'd bring some jazz to the show, bring that saxophone to the show. I love it. It's just healing.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what I love about jazz is the conversation mm-hmm. that the musicians have amongst themselves.
Yes.
And the rides they go on. It's never the same.
Never the same.
So that's beautiful.
It's in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they feed off of each other. And that's what's so beautiful about the jazz cruises, because it's live music. And you bring great musicians together in one space.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they love it. They feed off each other, and it's like, when are we booking the next one? That's
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's infectious.
It is infectious. So I usually come home on a high, and mm-hmm. my daughter's like, why are you feeling so good?
And then recently you just went to a concert, or
I did.
You went to a concert and you brought your daughter and some of your other, her friends.
My sister and her daughter.
Right.
And they loved it. We didn't know they were going to love it that much, but I think it was this being live was what did it, you know, compared to listening on the radio. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a little bit that we can, where people are driving around and doing their thing, they can get a little bit about Dr. Lauren and mm-hmm. where you grew up with the you know, math equations being part of your party in your life. And I love it. I want to meet her.
Oh, yeah. She'll be in town one of these days.
Job.
Yeah. So, so after college, I went to medical school down in Pomona, California, and that was challenging, too. It was a lot of information. They tell you it's a lot of information, but when you get there, you're like, this is a lot of information. How am I going to do it?
And how did you do it?
You just study all the time.
Okay.
All the time. And we'd have exams every Monday, so your weekend's gone because you're studying over the weekend. But we would hit up the beach on Mondays after our exams and go to, like, Huntington Beach or Newport Beach mm-hmm. and hang out, Venice Beach and hang out. And that was our reward. Then back at it Tuesday morning. Yeah, but I had a lot of great classmates. Actually, I have three people in this community that were classmates of mine.
And why Pomona?
You know, I really wanted to stay in California.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of medical schools outside of California. And so, you know, I was trying to hang on to the good weather. And then for residency, you know, I went to Detroit.
Mm. Okay, yeah. You got the opposite.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, culture shock.
I bet.
I was in Detroit for 5 years for my surgical residency.
And what was the first 6 months like?
Oh, man. I don't want to say that word, but.
That's all right. We got it. Say it.
It was hell.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine the culture shock and, and Detroit. Well, first of all, you know, you got the California vibe where people are, hey, how's it going? And then I would just think Detroit would be just a little bit more like in your face, maybe a little.
It was cold.
Yeah. And you know, what about the attitude of people?
I would say that they're definitely different from California. Californians, for me, are a little bit more laid back.
Mm-hmm.
And they take that as aloof. You know, like, oh, you're from California, you don't really care, you're so laid back. And so when you start traveling Midwest and the East Coast, they're a little bit more intense, a little bit more verbal. And so they kind of were like, I think it was a kind of a hard read for them.
Okay.
You know, even though it was very competitive, I still was a hard read. But, you know, they would call me Callie because my coats would be from the head to the toe. It was so cold.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I can't get into this. And so.
So when did you decide, when your specialty was going to be, your oncology and breast? Because that's, you know, when you go in, there's all kinds of directions when you're in residency. You don't, you know, a lot of people don't know when they hit the residency program what they're going to specialize in.
Yeah. So some people have to apply and, for their residency, or you do an internship and you, they call it gun for your spot. So as an intern, I had to gun for the surgery spot and you can apply there in other programs. So that's part of it. And it's very competitive. And so that's why you have to go hard because you have to pretty much audition for your spot if you want it.
And when did you know that you wanted to go into breast oncology or that particular field?
Yeah, so when I was a chief surgical resident, I rotated at the Karmanos Cancer Institute, which was a breast cancer center. And the attending there, Dr. Bowman, amazing guy, he basically ran the whole thing. And I was with him for a month, and I was like, okay, this is it. I love this.
You tuned in.
Yeah. And people would come from all over Michigan just to come there and get specialized care and information about their breast cancer. And he would talk to each person individually and take them in the little room on the couch. He always gave his home number, said, if you have any questions, call me. Yeah, very old school, but he was very, very good surgeon.
It makes your heart feel warm. Know that that somebody it was practicing that loved it that much that it was like your life is part of my life and we're going to do this thing together.
And you can see it in the patient.
And right? I feel like that's very much like that's why you're doing this show tonight because and you're bringing your knowledge and we're all going to learn and grow with you and from you. As you're bringing in experts and talking about, you know, that we all here in the North State, what our statistics are, et cetera. So we're very much looking forward to learning from you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited about this new adventure. Yeah, I'm really excited.
Well, maybe we should take a break.
Yes, yeah, so that was thinking. Yeah. We're on the same vibe.
Okay, and we've got Ben at the helm. So let's listen to some of that. Fabulous music that you love, Kaz.
Yeah, you got it, Ben.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us.
This show's for educated voters, not for people that voted for Kamala Harris.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest
every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
All right, welcome back to the show. Behind the Pink Mic Dr. Lauren Strickland, your inauguration, your kickoff, your smash bash, your frosh night. Congratulations.
Thank you, and thank you for the inspiration and support.
Yeah, I'm very blessed. Our pleasure. Mm-hmm. Well, you have someone very special with you tonight.
I do. I have my daughter here in the studio. Her name is Olivia. You want to say hello?
Hey, everyone.
You guys are two peas.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We are.
This is really beautiful to see that, you know, the voice, the mannerisms. Well, you had Olivia where you were in your, like, we're talking about what it is. You're in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You're working under Dr. Bowman.
Yeah,
or
you,
Dr. Bowman
month.
Inspired you
inspired
to,
me.
That was boom when you knew. But yeah. when did you get into like what you call a fellowship? How long do you have to go in before that happens?
Yeah, so when I graduated from a general surgery residency, then you basically apply for a fellowship or you go take a job. And, he actually was a big proponent of me to do a fellowship there at the center, and they hadn't renewed their funding because, you know, they have to fund the program to pay the fellow. And so I said, you know what? That's fine. I'm going to move back to California, good weather, to my hometown, and I'm going to start a practice and then build that into breast surgery. So I started my own solo practice as a general surgeon and moved back home with my family, my parents, because Olivia was about 6 months old. No. Yeah. I'm about 6 months old, 6 months to a year.
So, but Olivia was born in Detroit.
She was born in Detroit.
Okay.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
And so, so brought her back home. Actually, she was probably around almost two. Yeah. And so she, that helped me to start the practice from scratch.
Right.
The building, you know, the artwork, like everything, hiring. And so, being on call, because you have to do general surgery call for the hospital. And that hospital was having some financial problems, which I didn't know about. So a good year into the practice, they filed bankruptcy and stopped paying me.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, my goodness, what do you do, right? And I said, you know what? I always wanted to do the breast cancer fellowship, so this is the cue. Closed my practice, applied for programs, and I got accepted into a program in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio. So closed down the practice, packed the bags, and Olivia and I went to Ohio, and it's a one-year program.
So your mom, your parents, during that time that you came back from Detroit,
mm-hmm.
Olivia's a baby,
mm-hmm.
that this is where family was, I would say, instrumental, would you
yes.
say? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes,
instrumental in being able to give you the cushion to be mm-hmm. able to go into work and know that she was she was in a cocoonish family
yeah.
environment.
Mm-hmm. I love that cocoonish.
Yeah. Now you got to go back to Ohio, where it's cold again.
Cold again.
And
not
who do you know?
Cold.
Who do you know in Ohio? What are you doing here? I mean, you're in fellowship, but now what?
Yeah, that was tough. Fortunately, the hospital had a daycare
mm.
that was 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. because a lot of nurses drop their kids off.
Oh, bless their hearts.
Yeah, and so that worked for me, you know, long hours, and she loved it.
Yeah.
She didn't know any different.
Do you remember any of that Ohio experience, being in the daycare, and memories of any of that when Mom was off doing her fellowship?
I don't remember much, but I do remember sometimes after work she would take me to Chipotle.
Yes.
So I do have that memory.
Oh,
that was our first Chipotle experience.
Okay. Well, something stuck.
Yeah, definitely.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, how wonderful that the hospital had daycare, because that just makes mm-hmm. perfect sense. That, you know, how are you going to get the most out of your doctors if, you know, you've got to have this, you know, all inclusive
mm-hmm.
way to, you know, for you to be free to practice.
Yeah. And the thing is, what I love about nurses at the hospital is that they are so supportive, not just of the patients, but of you. Because when we operate and we're taking care of patients, it's really a team thing, right? I can't do everything by
mm-hmm.
myself. It's a team, and we have to really acknowledge that. But nurses, because I'd have to go on conferences and present papers and posters, all the research we were doing, and they say, oh, we'll watch Olivia, you know, we'll take care of her. And so it was nice because I had that support from the nursing staff, the OR nursing staff. And so it was great because, you know, the hotel, I could get some sleep when I'm away because I was just so tired, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a nice break for me, but they were really supportive.
How long is a fellowship program?
They can average from 1 to 3 years.
Okay.
The breast oncology fellowship is 1 year. But if you're a surgical oncologist, then you do like 3 years because there's other organs, other types of cancer. But just to specialize in breast cancer is just the 1 year, which I'm like, I could do 1 year, you know, because you go back to a fellow or a resident's salary. You know, you go from making a regular salary back down to, you know, minimal income. It's really a challenge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you ended up doing a 1 year.
1 year.
1 year fellowship in Ohio.
In Ohio.
And then did you stay in Ohio? All right. So you're out going back to warm weather.
Yes.
Okay.
So headed back to Cali. And I was taking a job actually in Berkeley. I had approached a group and said, hey, I'm going to do a fellowship. I would love to come back to my community and be a part of your group. Are you hiring? It's like, well, you know what? We'll probably hire another person when you get back. And so, I looked at that opportunity. It just wasn't the right opportunity. And then the job board had Redding, California. And I'm like, where is Redding, California? So, you know, I've made the call. And
what year was this?
This was 2008.
Okay.
And
right when I moved. I mean, that's when I moved here in 05, but 08 is when we started this station at 09.
Is
so,
that right?
Yeah, right around that same time is when I moved to Redding.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's when I met Dr. Grady.
Oh,
Yes.
He took care of me.
I know he did. Took good care of me.
Yeah, he's just somebody who's just brilliant.
Yeah, he's a smart man. Mm-hmm. Very smart man. So North Valley Breast Clinic, I joined in the summer of 2008. Mm-hmm. So we came out to Redding, California back then. Yeah, that was my first breast job.
Okay. Now, so Olivia, did you have any family that's still in the Bay Area?
Everybody's still in the Bay.
Okay, so that's not far. It's just a drive, just a quickie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get there by noon. Easy. Have lunch. Decide to, do a little shopping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that was cool. Easy. And then, met a great community of people, right?
Right.
Some of our social friends,
Right. I kind of wondered, because I know you're... Now, we were talking to a couple of people, because I know we're in a book club together, but a couple of people we were talking about before we came on the air,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, well, do you know that now it makes sense through the years of being here, how you knew different people through your life?
Yeah. Here. With Anik. Mm-hmm. Always kept in contact with Anik Dome.
We're going to say, love to you, baby girl, if you're listening tonight. She's all excited about you kicking this off. Yeah.
Yeah, she's super supportive. And so, Facebook, you can keep in contact with people. Matter of fact, we were cleaning out the garage, the photo box, right? And she keeps coming up with these photos. And we keep finding photos of Anik and her family.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit more about, you coming to Reading and then after 2008, because we're kind of following your career, because I think you left and came back. We want to know about that.
Yeah.
And who are you with now and what you're doing. I know there's a lot here. I'm not interviewing you. I'm just happy to be, blah, blah, blahing, but we do have to take a break.
Yeah, we do. Okay. All
right. We'll be right back after these messages.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope, but that's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays, noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Miss the show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
Welcome back to Behind the Pink Mic, here in the studio with Linda Bott and Olivia.
Good morning. Oh. You know what? I said that today in the mall. This afternoon, I just said to somebody, and I said, good morning, and I thought, you know what, I am just, like, locked in to the mornings, and it's just really weird. Anyway, it's not morning, it's nighttime, and you are just launching your show Behind the Pink Mic with Dr. Lauren Strickland, 6 p.m., and this is your show. I just happen to be here tonight because we're helping you to launch this. I'm thrilled that you're bringing this wonderful information for our community. And this also can be streamed. So if somebody hears information that you're talking about tonight or in the future shows, they can stream, they can send, the streaming show anytime, any place, anywhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sometimes we get little calls in from Greenland and emails in from different places which is, you know, this is kind of weird about the world wide web.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we left off where you had come in 2008 and, you just finished your fellowship and you had come into Reading. So we're just kind of trying to trail your career.
Yeah.
And after, Reading, you were here how long? With Olivia?
3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what called you to your next location?
Okay, so you know Dr. Hadley, Patricia Hadley, breast radiologist. She was at MD Imaging.
Yes.
So she really wanted to move to Hawaii. She says, you know what? I want to work in Hawaii. I'm looking for jobs. And I'm like, no, Pat, you can't leave because we have such a great team here. We do good work. The patients need you. You know, we had a really good working relationship and also with Dr. Bauer.
Yes. Love her.
Yeah. And so, she calls me one day and she says, Lauren, I found a job.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh man, you know, like you did. Okay. Well, I'm happy for you. She's like, actually it's breast surgery. And I'm like, breast surgery. I said, I'm not leaving. And she's like, oh, just talk to the rep, you know, the recruiter, just talk to him. And then my phone's ringing. Is the recruiter on the other line? So I said, you know, okay, let's go. So my daughter and Olivia and my dad, actually, he went with us.
Oh.
And we went on the trip. Mm-hmm. And you know what happened? The tsunami in Japan, it just happened. This was 2011. And they closed the airports. So I thought they were going to cancel the interview. And then the next day it opened up and we got to get on the airplane.
Wow, that was meant to be.
So we went out there for a few days and had a great time. I know Olivia had a good time. She went to the Hello Kitty store. And Auntie Laura, someone we met, Auntie Laura, she bought her all kinds of things.
How fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you had this interview and you were starting to feel like this could be a good next step.
Yeah. And so they offered me the job and I said, you know what, let's go. And we had a good time.
Now, how long were you in Oahu?
3 years.
All right.
Yeah. But I did do a general surgery call at the hospital. And that was a challenge because breast surgery by day, seeing patients and operating. And then I was on call 10 times a month. So 24-hour shifts, the emergency room could call you and come in and do,
General surgery meant like a bone's hanging out of your knee. Are you talking about that?
That's more orthopedic, but like someone has a appendix,
yeah,
or a gallbladder, or a perforated stomach.
Mm-hmm. Anything that comes to an emergency could be any,
Yeah, because, you know, I trained as a general surgeon.
Oh,
and
man.
I specialized as a breast
surgeon.
So that was part of the contract.
Ooh, that you had to be totally on your game. Huge.
Definitely. And
you're still on your game. You're always on your game.
Yeah.
You don't do surgery unless you're on your game. But I mean, to think you had to switch your brain and do all the, you know, the knee bone connected to the whatever bone. I don't know why I keep talking about knees, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, and it was a women and children's hospital. So it's mostly like pregnant women, gallbladders, appendix. So you got to be real careful.
Mm.
And 10 calls a month is a lot. And so I had like a live-in nanny, sometimes a day nanny, a night nanny for Olivia. And, you know, she was in soccer and all these, you know, activities.
Great, yes.
But, you know, mom has to go to work. And so I think that for her, what was a turning point was, you know, I leave the house at 3 a.m. Are you going to be home to take me to school?
Mm.
And I'm like, no, I'm not. I won't make it back. And so that was really starting to affect her. And then when my pager would go off, it was like PTSD.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, so.
Mom, I just want you to hang with mm-hmm. me a little bit, please.
Yeah. So I made the decision. I'm like, you know what? We're moving back to the mainland.
Okay.
And I'm not going to take any more jobs with general surgery.
All right.
Just breast.
That was a great decision.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Yeah. You know, and mainland and island life is so different. Did you find, Olivia, that it was hard for you? I know you probably loved your island life, but then come to the mainland. And then the culture is really a different culture, difference between Oahu. And then where did you guys come after that? Did you come to Redding after?
We were in Sacramento for a minute, and then we went to the Bay Area.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how was it for you with the change from island life coming back to Sacramento in the Bay Area at that point? What were you, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade?
I was in fourth grade. I would have to say the biggest change was the weather. The weather was the biggest change because every day I'd wake up in Oahu, it was sunny, it was beautiful, the water was beautiful, it was clear, but everything else stayed the same. My mom never failed to put me in sports, dance, so it never felt like her presence was missing. She always made sure she was there.
Great, great. That's just to me, it almost is like my heart feels like it's a given. But I was just thinking about, like, as a child when you're on the island and now you go to the mainland, because I know that when I used to work in Hong Kong, I would do Hawaii after Hong Kong just to kind of get almost from Asia into somewhat of a mainland and then get to the mainland. And I really loved Hawaii. I could have moved there. I thought I just loved all the things that it offered, but I also know that I probably would have gone stir crazy after a while.
Yeah, it's limited.
Yeah.
You know.
But still, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. A lifestyle choice, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So you went to Sacramento. What part?
We were in West Sacramento
mm-hmm.
just for a little bit. It was kind of a transition point.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up in the Bay Area, and I worked for Kaiser San Francisco and Kaiser Oakland for about a year. And then that's when I started to work for Sutter Gould in Modesto to help build a breast program. They were starting a new breast program.
Ooh,
so that was fun.
I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like you like to create.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the show behind the pink mic with Dr. Lauren Strickland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I was in Sutter System for 7 years and came out back to Redding full circle.
Talk about full circle.
Full circle.
7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long, that's to me, of all the things, you seem to do 3 year stint, 3 year, but
seven
is now you're already a young lady. You're in your teens.
Yeah. College.
Yeah. I'm 21.
No, but I mean, I'm talking about it when you were in Sutter in Oakland. Right. Right. So when you came here, how old were you when you came back to Redding?
Oh, 20.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Driving, big girl stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. She came back to try to get into the local nursing program.
Mm.
Yeah, because she was at Sacramento State, and, you know, she lived on her own for a little bit, but I think it was kind of overrated.
Yeah, yeah.
She said, I want to come stay with you. I said, well, come on.
Perfect. And so we have great nursing programs here.
Excellent.
Oh, geez. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know our daughter went through a nursing program in Albuquerque and what it was like for her. It was very, very difficult trying to raise two kids. But it takes a team. It takes a team to have it, to actually get to go through it. So, all right. So that's excellent information. So you saw medicine. You wanted to be involved with medicine, take temperatures, do all the things that nurses do to help you not lose your mind, you know, that it's part of that whole bring peace to you.
Yeah. Yep. So I previously knew Dr. Matthew Allen, and they were looking for someone, a breast surgeon in their practice at Valor Oncology.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, took a trip up, came back and said, gosh, it's changed so much. There's a Trader Joe's. Oh, my goodness.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And two Costco's now.
And two Costco's.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know, this will be, it's not too far from family because my dad was ill at the time and I didn't want to be too far from family.
Right.
So it's driving, easy drive. And so I said, okay, let's do it. And so.
Which leads you back to Redding, California, and now you've been here for how long?
Going on 3 years next
month. Going on 3 years. Yeah. Feels like just yesterday, but got to take a break.
Yeah.
Okay. Behind the Pink Mic with Dr. Lauren Strickland. We'll be right back.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
That Friday feeling is more than just a day of the week. It's the sight of a full plate and the promise of more to come. It's Black Bear Diner's all-you-can-eat Friday fish fry. Get your fill of crispy, hand-breaded pollock fillets with fries, our famous hush puppies, and house-made coleslaw. Starts at 4 p.m. every Friday at Black Bear Diner. Come hungry, bring the family, and enjoy a tradition you can count on.
Black Bear Diner.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash. What it take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding.
I'm here today with my insurance agent of about 12 years, Kevin Wall from Allstate. He's located at 2861 Churn Creek Road. Now, Kevin, what is it that has made you such a successful insurance office for, what, almost 30 years?
Yes, actually, 28 years, June 1st. And the fact that we genuinely care about our clients and want to do what's best to make sure we take care of their insurance needs.
I remember when my daughter had her accident, and Allstate and your office was right there to help with the claims process.
As I mentioned, we have great staff and customer service. We really do go the extra mile. And with Allstate, if you qualify for the California Good Driver discount, you can most likely get started with as low as 1 month down.
Now, do people have to wait until their renewal to get started?
No, absolutely not. Whether your policy is coming up for renewal now or if you're midterm, it really doesn't matter. We can usually get you covered within about 15 minutes from when you call. Whether it's auto, home, or anything else that needs insured, if you just give us a call or text us, we'd be glad to help you. 530-222-2306.
Okay, welcome back to Behind the Pink Mic with Dr. Lauren. We have Linda Bott in the studio and Olivia, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming live on KCNR1460.com. And in the last segment, we were basically talking about how I made it back to Redding, California, pretty much full circle. And I currently now work at Valor Oncology. And Valor Oncology has three offices, Redding, Chico, and Palm Desert. And basically it's a radiation oncology practice that is incorporating and has incorporated other specialties. And so breast surgery is one of those specialties. We have colorectal surgery, primarily in Chico with Dr. Douglas Matthews. We just brought on a new general surgeon, Dr. Nick Gabriel, and we have a couple of nurse practitioners and a new PA. Actually, she started today. Her name is Han Klein. Yeah, so we're, you know, doing our thing. When it comes to breast cancer, you can see me for surgery, and then patients will either go to radiation next, or they may go to chemotherapy next, depending on the type of cancer and the stage. But the radiation oncology that takes place at Valor Oncology, we have a machine in the back of the building, an additional waiting room and dressing room in the back of the building. And so you really have like what's called multiple practices under one space, pretty much multidisciplinary. The only thing that we don't do there is chemotherapy. So it's a nice practice, you know. We get the opportunity to, you know, share patients, talk about their care. I love it because I get to see my patients after they had surgery coming through for radiation. So I get to continue to see them, catch up, see how they're doing, and then, you know, see them again in the office for me like 6 months to a year later.
So would you mind, you know, I don't know if it's in front of you right now, so I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know before when you were a keynote speaker at Chicks mm-hmm. and Chaps, by the way, it was fabulous what you did, and then it broke out, and of course, the line dance, it just blew us all away with the snapping of the fans. Oh, my God. But anyway, you were talking about some statistics, and they're pretty doggone astonishing as far as one in, like, just in the Northern California area.
Yeah, so in general, these are really California statistics. Excuse me.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No, I was talking about it. I threw the numbers at you real fast.
Yeah.
So just, yeah.
Yeah, let me just get some hibiscus.
Okay, hibiscus. I like that. So, and that is your tea, it's a pink teeny. Your
yes.
pink teeny of the month.
Pink teeny of the month is a hibiscus tea,
mm-hmm.
full of vitamin C. So really, pretty much, you know, there's 300,000 women that'll be diagnosed with invasive cancer in 2025, which is a lot of people.
Mm.
Like they say, 1 in 8 women will get diagnosed with breast cancer. And so those numbers have gone up over time, but population has gone up over time as well. sorry. One of the things I notice is that, and I don't know if this is a residual effect of COVID, is that women are presenting with, you know, bigger cancers than what I'm used to seeing here. And so I know that we have huge efforts here in this community with NorCal Think Pink. The outreach, the education, the awareness is huge. And so I wonder sometimes why we are still presenting with, you know, more advanced stage cancers, you know, because it's a huge effort. And I remember when I was here years ago, NorCal Think Pink was huge. And then you come back, you're like, wow, it's still strong. The support is amazing. The efforts and the work that you see in the community is great.
Are you talking about with the when someone is diagnosed,
mm-hmm.
when you talk about it's bigger, like more spread out or the tumor is larger, or share that, what that
yeah.
means, a visual.
So if the cancer starts in the breast, it starts as little cells. You can't even see them. That's why we get our mammogram, so then that way you might detect these early because a mammogram can pick up the little calcifications on the mammogram, and they may be stage zero. The cells are so tiny. But over time, those cells outgrow the ducts and the lobules and become a mass, like a pebble or a marble or a walnut, and the size of an orange. And as that tumor gets bigger in the breast, it can now leave the breast, exit the breast to the lymph nodes in the armpit, and then those yeah. cells can exit the armpit to the body.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's why early detection. And so when a lumpectomy would be like maybe the size of a pea or something. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Excising the lump as
right.
opposed to removing the entire breast, which is a mastectomy.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, the further along you're diagnosed, you know, the harder it is to treat.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that people can't be treated and live well. But if you had a choice, it would probably be best to treat it early, and you know your cure rate is much better.
So one would think that because of COVID and you know there was a 3 month or a 4 month shutdown and people, you know, just didn't go out, and it was such a change
mm-hmm.
across in the world.
Yeah, global
that.
Mm-hmm.
To come back, people were still masking and afraid to get
yeah.
up close or touch
mm-hmm.
with the unknown.
Yeah, with the unknown.
So now we're seeing the ramifications.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's 2025 now. Some of that should be, you know, leveling out. But, you know, you wonder what happens when a woman does not seek care and is still growing. And is still growing, you know. And I know that some of that is fear. I know that some of that is, you know, I don't really want to know, but I know. And it's sad when I see women go through this and they're suffering in silence. Because sometimes their loved ones don't even know.
So this is what's important, and we want to share, or I would like it if you would share, in October, coming up, your next show will be a lot of Think Pink, and you'll be out there, and all the information that will be shared, and that's the reason behind getting behind the Pink Mic with Dr. Lauren Strickland, is being a voice in the community to help people not be afraid, you know, get your mammograms, here's information, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So can you share with us where you're going with the next one, the next show?
So the next show, we're going to have the NorCal Think Pink ladies in the studio. I'm excited. And we're going to just basically see, you know, what they've done for the last year and what's upcoming for October, and just find out more about their operations and the individuals behind the scenes.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center.